Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star two if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question is from Alicia Ben-Zacharia from New York. Please go ahead.
Hey, Dottie.
Hey, hi, Lisa. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope you'll be well soon.
Oh, me too.
So I think you gave a great summary of all the reasons that we get stressed during the holidays. I think one of the major points is that I would want to emphasize, I think many people's patients do not have family. So I can say that two important things that I would like to point out, that sometimes I don't ask patients specifically, you know, Dottie and Lori and all the rest, how are you doing during the holiday? I do ask about emotion and depression, but thank you. I think I should ask that question really concretely. How are you doing during the holidays? Because a lot of people don't have support. The other points that I think we are missing here sometimes, we don't do plan ahead, maybe like some, I don't know that I have or I've heard in my area about support group, like almost like plan ahead before the holiday or a month before, because we have holidays throughout the years, but the major time is now, really, that everyone is celebrating and having family time, and you have those patients that have no one. And I think perhaps we even have to, like, do it a month ahead or sometimes in November or late October or maybe more November, have some support group for people that are fearful of the holiday. They really feel depressed, as you mentioned, and have the blues and have no one really to celebrate with. So I think sometimes we need to do it ahead of time.
That's a great idea.
I agree, Elisa. That's something that we could take to the support group.
Mm-hmm.
That we have, you know, and do it in plenty of time, I think, mm-hmm. ahead of time, that you're going to talk about it and you're going to anticipate them and give them coping strategies that maybe they could use. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't think that, and myself included, sometimes we just don't realize that we're really a little bit stressed out over the holidays itself, you know. So
that's a great idea.
I think that's a really, really good idea.
And I'll bet every nurse on the line can remember working on a holiday and having someone come in with to the emergency room with a mole that's been there for years, but you know that person just had nowhere else to go that day.
Oh. Well, I think just having to cope. I mean, Dottie, you brought up the seasonal affect disorder and the, but
yeah.
just the holiday blues, I think, mm-hmm. itself, that many patients go through because of their expectations that this is supposed to be a happy time for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
everything should be happy. And I think of all the people that, unfortunately, and it's usually Thanksgiving and Christmas, who lose their jobs.
Yes.
You know, they get their pink slips,
yeah.
you know, about this time of year, and how stressful that must be for them, you know, MS patients included, having to have to deal with that, since this is kind of a time of year when we kind of stretch our finances and things. But I think any coping suggestions, I think, that we can offer patients, I think would it be extremely beneficial. And I think Lisa's idea of starting early is a great one.
Oh, it sure is. And the other thing is thinking ahead. Before the call, Lori, you and I were talking about how we both have a tendency to buy gifts as we go along. So as we see things for people, you know, we have them then, rather than wait till the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it pains me when people will go out and shop with plastic and know the next 3 or 4 months they're going to be miserable trying to pay these bills. Because they catch that feeling of I've got to have the best gifts or throw caution to the wind.
Well,
so just, yeah.
And that's a strategy I think we could share with our patients too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's easy for me, and I put it in the closet, and I have a, you know, my kids are all grown. They know they shouldn't be looking in my closet anyway, but my biggest problem is sometimes I forget mm-hmm. that I bought them something in it, and I find it maybe Valentine's Day or later on in the year. But it just makes it easier for me, because then when I'm shopping or I see something and it makes, you know, reminds me of that person or something that that person might like. And these aren't expensive things. These are
mm-hmm.
these are small, inexpensive things. But and I pretty much kind of do that through my travels, you know, where I'm going. If I see something for that person, then I'll pick it up then and then just set it away.
Well, making gifts, too. I have a young
mm-hmm.
patient who will bake, and she'll bring in cupcakes for the clinic. Just, it's the thought that counts, that people don't, you know, people will send these expensive fruit things to clinic. They get delivered on Friday, and they're spoiled by Monday, you know, and the thought is good, and it's generous, but people don't have to spend a lot of money to be really very generous. I've even heard of people who do good deeds in other people's names and give virtual gifts where they are able to do something, you know, that really doesn't cost money, but it's full of love and consideration. So I think those things help too.
I think especially if patients are feeling somewhat isolated because they may be away from their families or friends, and, you know, maybe seek out giving or helping in another respect.
That's right.
It can actually help with those feelings of loneliness.
Right.
As far as that.
Well, how could anyone be anything but joyful in a city like New York?
Well, you have beautiful lights downtown, I'll tell you. Just really, really gorgeous. What a festive place to be,
yeah.
You know, at that time of year. So as far as managing your time, you know, Elisa, are you still on the line?
Yes,
you're
yes,
included
yes.
in this. As far as managing your time, maybe helping patients set priorities or have more realistic goals on what they can achieve through the holidays. That's not such an easy thing to do.
You know, I think that, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think those, you know, I think the materialistic planning and the gift planning, I think that's maybe the easy part. I don't know, maybe I'm naive to things, but I think the emotional burden and seeing, even maybe in New York City, it's even much harder because they see all this festivity. You have to be happy.
You're
not happy here, which can be even more stressful. So I think the emotional stress and the togetherness that families have, and if patients do not have it and they're by themselves and they have a chronic illness and it's not going well and there's nothing to be happy about, those are the tough moments that actually they're facing. So I think it's they really need that support, and I think whatever we can offer, I think is more important, and I think you mentioned it, Dottie, it's more the emotional piece. I think that's really, really difficult. I think the gift shopping, the fatigue, you can do and set the priorities. That I see as the easy part,
mm-hmm.
but all the other, the depressive mood and all these challenges they go through, it's a bit harder for us as clinicians most of the time.
Right.
Well, and I think this time of year, you know, they're dealing with, I think Daddy had mentioned sleeping problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you've got so much on your mind, you're doing this, and they can be so irritable, and they can actually be, like, socially withdrawing. Concentration, just trying
mm-hmm.
to manage concentration when you have so many different things and you're trying to multitask with everything. It can just be very busy. I think you're right. The feelings that are associated with stress can be very difficult for people to cope with.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, taking time over the holidays for us.
You have a nice holiday, Elisa.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You too, guys.
Talk to you soon.
Well, Dottie, gain your voice back.
That's right. I don't know who this frog is.
Bye, Lori. Bye, Dottie.
Okay,
enjoy
bye,
the
Lisa.
Holidays.
You too.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Manny, would you like to see if there's anybody else in the queue that maybe has another question?
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question.
You know, one thing that we didn't talk about, Dottie, that, you know, I suppose managing holiday stress is probably different in different areas of the country,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah.
I mean, you did bring up cultural issues and cultural differences.
Mm-hmm. Well, weather. You know, the weather can be an enormous pressure in some areas because you can make the best plans you want and have a storm come up and it's going to change things.
Yeah. Or just even just not, just having a lot of rain or ice or, No, you're right. That could be really difficult.
Well, and all the different cultures celebrate things so differently.
No, we do. But I find that so interesting.
I love it.
I mean, it really is. You know, even in just our office alone, it's very interesting listening to, you know, the specialties that certain families do,
mm-hmm.
their rituals, you know, that they have through the holidays and everything like this. But, you know, overeating seems to be something I think that everybody kind of does.
Yeah, most I've noticed that most of the cultural celebrations revolve around food.
They do. And I think your suggestion of exercising and, you know, watching your diet, I mean, you really need to do that throughout the holidays, you know, and yet, you know, enjoy everything that is kind of coming your way without overdoing that.
Right. Well, you know, we talk so much about, like, hospitals are depressing. And I think that's sort of funny that we could attribute, you know, a mood to a space. But in the reference I gave for the science of healing places, this Esther Sternberg, she was talking about how good design can actually be a healing space. And I'm wondering if that's a part of the holidays is the way we sort of trigger our brain's internal pharmacy. You know, whether it be the aromas, you know,
mm-hmm.
of cookies baking or, you know, or whatever, that trigger memories. And those things, you know, we can make these healing spaces wherever we are, even if we're decorating a room rather than a home.
Well, you've got food, you've got music.
That's right.
You've got,
wonderful,
you know,
music.
You've got your memories,
mm-hmm.
you know, people, you know, that have been there in the past who maybe aren't there. You know, this holiday season. I guess it's just that maybe remembering each year is not necessarily the same holiday as the ones that were remembered in the past, because you and the people in your life change daily and circumstances change and life goes on and you develop some new holiday activities and traditions and everything. And I think sometimes some people just focus on, I mean, we all have wonderful memories, or I would hope that we all do, of when we were children and the holidays and family spending together. Maybe for some people it's not that wonderful.
That's right.
As far as what they're doing.
Yeah, the idea, though, of being open. You know, I like the expression, take what you like and leave the rest,
mm-hmm.
of being able to put into a perspective, you know, that of to enjoy what you're going to enjoy. If you're going to do it, enjoy it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're going to pass on it, to be comfortable with that. It's sort of that acknowledging feelings. And that if the memories are not exactly happy ones, that to make new ones.
Make new ones, absolutely. And you had talked about health first, and I think Elisa did too. You know, I mean, you really need to put your health first, as
That's
we
right.
do, and sometimes we don't always do that. you know, and continue exercising, get that normal amount of sleep, and take our vitamins, and
and begin to prepare for the New Year's resolution.
I know. And there's always something nice about the New Year's, though, that I have.
There is. It's a fresh start.
Right. It's to me, it's rejuvenating. Okay, we're starting a new year. You know, you reflect on what's in the past, and you know, I guess kind of. We all take stock of maybe certain things that happened the year before and, you know, how can we manage them maybe better? And there's always that sense of hope,
That's right, for the next year.
Manny, would you like to check again to see if there's anybody else in queue?
There are no questions in the queue
Oh, my goodness. There are no questions. Well, Dottie, there's one thing I did want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You did mention, and I did want to let everybody know that on the website that we're going to be putting your list of references, and also I believe you had mentioned the MS Society
hotline. Let me mention that again, because particularly if you have concerns that someone was going to need it over the holidays, there's a 24/7 hotline that you can tap into for the MS Society, where a person, and they do have trained people to talk with folks and be sure the resources. I mean, I think every city I know we have in Philadelphia has hotlines for suicide prevention and et cetera. But this MS Society line isn't just for, you know, concern about suicide, but really anyone who needs help 24 hours a day and 7 days a week can call 1-800. It's 273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. They have a person there who speaks very widely in the community and sounds like a very good resource for folks.
That's an excellent resource. And I'm just going to check and see if there's one more question. We only really have a couple minutes left.
Okay.
Before we wind up here. Manny, anybody else?
There are no questions.
Okay.
I think we lost them to the what was it? Country music.
It's the American Music Awards. Music Awards is on tonight, which I know. I think that started about the same time that we did. But Dottie, I really appreciate you coming on tonight.
Well, thank you so much.
And
you know,
your presentation. I think this was just a absolute. Perfect time to do it. And what I'd like to say is say thank you to everybody for listening. And on behalf of the IOMSN, I'd like to thank Dottie for presenting, and a thank you to Novartis for their support with the unrestricted grant. And I would like to remind you that January, in the new year, 2013, on Monday, January 14th, the speaker who will be presenting will be Pat Kennedy, who's the president of the IOMSN this year, and her talk is going to be on what is can-do MS, and I think that'll be really an excellent talk, so I hope that you will all listen in, and again, this concludes our tonight's meeting, and I wish everybody a good night, and hope to see you next month.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays, too. Good night, everyone.